express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the dramatic life story of a magnificent American, Oliver Wendell Holmes. Our star this evening, the fine American actor, Roger Pryor. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K, Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now to preside over our program this evening, here's our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Kalmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Just as Oliver Wendell Holmes was an independent man, so is the fine actor whom Hallmark greeting cards bring you in the role of Justice Holmes tonight, Roger Pryor. Like Holmes, Roger Pryor belongs to a well-known family. His father was a famous band leader. His childhood was filled with the great and near great of the theater. The intellectual world of the Holmes of Boston might not have understood the entertainment world of the Pryors of New York, but they would have understood the Yankee determination that carried young Roger Pryor to stardom in his own right. Tonight, Mr. Pryor brings all his American heritage to the role of the great Yankee. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Roger Pryor in Yankee from Olympus. Somewhere on the muddy road to Chancellorsville, a company of Union soldiers was moving up through the early morning mist to take a position opposite the Confederate forces. At the head of this ragged, mud-soaked column, a tall, erect young man, whose military bearing set an inspiring example for the tired troops behind him, marched along as if he were leading a parade through Boston Common. The date was May 1863. The young man was Captain Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Company, halt! All right, men, break ranks and take cover on the left side of the road. We're in full view of the enemy's guns from here, so get down and keep out of sight. Down, I said, all of you. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Send a runner to Colonel Davis and ask for instructions. We've been sighted from the hills. As soon as this fog clears, it won't take them long to find the range.
Yes, sir.
What's the trouble, Bedford? Swallow a mouthful of mud on that last one?
No, sir, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm just plain scared.
Well, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm just as frightened as you are.
Are you, sir? But what I've read about
what you've read was written by my father. It's very embarrassing to be the son of a well-known writer.
Embarrassing, sir?
Painfully so. Ever since I can remember, the Holmes family has been a constant source of material for the Atlantic Monthly. Everything we do, everything we say, appears in the next issue.
But you're a great soldier, sir.
I'm a soldier, Bedford. My father's a great writer. As far as I'm concerned, being a soldier is an organized bore. Except when it's something much worse.
I think they're getting the range, sir.
Yes. Yes, this fog is lifting too fast. The next one will be a lot closer.
Oh, my leg. Leland, McKinney, quick. The captain's been hit.
Captain Holt, my leg. Shell fragment. Clean through the heel.
Here, let me.
Bedford, down, you fool.
But I want.
Down, I said. Confound that leg. It'll be in the next issue of the Atlantic Monthly.
Looking fine today, Wendell. Fine. A few weeks' convalescence at home has done you a world of good.
Yes, I'm almost myself again, Father.
Well, in that case, you wouldn't mind talking to me about your experiences on the road to Chancellorsville. I'm thinking of doing an article.
Must we talk about it now, Father?
Why, no, not right this minute. Tonight, perhaps. As a matter of fact, you have a visitor waiting for you now. a young and very beautiful visitor. Come in, Miss Dixwell.
Well, thank you, Dr. Holmes.
Not at all, my dear. And if this strong, silent son of mine happens to say anything about Chancellorsville, do stop off at my study and tell me about it, won't you?
Indeed I will, Doctor.
Thank you.
Hello, Wendy.
Sam. How are you, Sam? It seems like years since I've seen you last.
Well, it almost is a year. The only time I see you now is when you've been wounded. Oh, would you rather not talk about that?
Oh, I don't mind. As long as you don't tell him.
Is your leg giving you a lot of pain, Wendy? You look so pale and thin.
That's what you said the last time I was wounded. Remember how you nursed me back to health?
Did I? Seems as if I hardly saw you the last time. Just came in here with an armful of books and read to you by the hour.
You read very well, Fan.
Want me to read some more?
No, not yet. Just sit there and let me look at you for a while.
Like this?
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you feel like being a nurse again, you can hold my hand.
Must I be a nurse to do that?
Why,
shocked, Mr. Holmes?
No, but I may believe I was awfully sick the last time just to get your hand. Now I don't have to pretend.
Why, how ill are you?
Grave. Almost critical. Oh. Here, feel my pulse.
You're such a fool, Wendy. Such a gentle fool.
Perhaps it's the company I keep.
I wonder. You've changed so much these past 2 years. I feel as if I hardly knew you.
Good Lord, have I changed that much, Ben? How?
Well, I don't know. There's something very mature about you now. When you went away, you were just a boy.
I'm still a boy, Sam. Down deep I am. I'm still as confused and uncertain as I ever was. Especially about what I want to do when the war's over.
What you want to do, Wendy? What do you mean?
Well, when I was at Harvard, I thought I wanted to be a doctor or a philosopher or a professional man of some kind.
And now?
And now I just want to be a person. Funny, isn't it, Sam?
No, Wendy. It's glorious.
Father?
And, yes, Wendell?
I hope I'm not interrupting you, Father, but for months now, ever since I was mustered out of the army, you've been asking me what I wanted to do about my career, I mean.
Yes?
Well, I finally made up my mind.
Good for you, son. You've decided on a career of science.
No, I'm going to be a lawyer, Father.
Oh, a lawyer. Common, ordinary lawyer?
Well, not necessarily a common one, sir.
But they're all common. That is, they all have to earn a living by cleverness and chicanery in the courtroom. Besides, they speak such frightful English.
The lawyers who drafted our Constitution didn't. Men like Madison, Jefferson, Adams, they were all trained in the law.
But it's such a dead subject, Wendell. You know what Dean Swift said, don't you? It's a maxim among lawyers that whatever has been done before may be legally done again.
I know, Father, but that's no reason why it has to be that way. It's about time somebody came forward with a new interpretation
Come. You can't live on new interpretations, Sam. As it is, they say a lawyer can't be a success unless he can learn to eat sawdust without butter.
Well, I've eaten sawdust before, Father. At least it tasted that way in the army.
But why should a son of mine waste his life on such unproductive labor? A lawyer can't ever be a great man, Wendell.
Perhaps I don't want to be a great man, sir. Perhaps I haven't it in me.
Oh, nonsense. If you studied science, new vistas would open up for you. The whole field is uncharted.
The field of law is uncharted, too, as I see it, Father. Besides, I haven't a scientific mind.
No? But what sort of a mind have you, Wendell?
A human one, Father. A human one. For heaven's sake. Hello, Fan. How've you been?
Oh, all right, I suppose. Except that I never see the Holmeses anymore unless I happen to bump into them on the street like this.
Well, I've been meaning to...
Oh, you don't have to apologize, Wendy. Now that you and your brother are such busy lawyers, you probably haven't any time for anything but work.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Fan. I hardly ever go to court anymore. Ned tries all our cases.
What do you do?
Study, mostly. Stuffy old courtrooms bore me to death. Lawyers always talk so much. That's why I'm preparing a new edition of Commentaries on American Law. I'm bringing it up to date.
How about yourself, Wendy?
Hmm?
Then you're going to take some time off and bring yourself up to date.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what they say about all work and no play.
Oh, I'm playing, Sam. Editing these commentaries is the most fascinating kind of play. Don't you see, Laws were made for the people, so were courtrooms. But when times change, the law must change, too, for the sake of the people it was made for.
I don't quite... change the law, Wendell.
Oh, not the purpose of the law, not the spirit, Sam. Only these fossilized interpretations that don't belong to our times.
Well, I suppose you're doing a wonderful thing, Wendy. But sometimes I wish you'd...
Yes, ma'am?
Well, I wish you'd come over to the house sometime. I mean, I can't very well go to your place now that you're not wounded. Keep working every night.
Yes, ma'am?
Never mind. I'm being very selfish, I suppose. Only in your case, I wish there were a law against the law.
What's the matter with you, Wendell? Haven't you looked at her lately? Fanny Dixwell is in love with you.
In love with me, Uncle John?
Of course, boy. She's pining her heart away for you.
But that's absurd. She must know I'm in love with her.
Then for heaven's sake, why don't you do something about it?
Well, I will. I'll make a memorandum of it right now. And as soon as I finish this next chapter, I'll propose to her.
Roger Fryer will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by Hallmark Greeting Cards, from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine.
Folks, there's someone waiting to meet you. Who is it? Why, it's that traditional symbol of happiness, that lovable little fellow, Mr. Bluebird. You saw him in the latest Walt Disney movie, Song of the South, and now he's on gay, colorful Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards. Yes, Mr. Bluebird's getting to be the talk of every town. Always symbolic of happiness, Mr. Bluebird is now flying into the hearts of everyone on the wings of that gay new hit tune, Zippity-Doo-Dah. He's that symbol of happiness on the new Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards. That's why you'll have such fun sending this perky, bright-eyed little fellow to all your friends. Yes, Mr. Bluebird will top hat and with his top hat and cane will strut his way straight into your heart and the hearts of all your friends, too. So send him off to carry your happy greetings to every friend you know. Ask your Hallmark dealer for the new Mr. Bluebird cards, the happiest kind of greetings. Remember, always look on the back of the cards you choose for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Fanny Dixwell and Oliver Wendell Holmes were married on June 17, 1871. But there was no time for a long honeymoon. Wendell's work on the commentaries was still unfinished. But even after the commentaries were published, there was other work to be done. Lectures, articles for the Harvard Law Review, and always, always study.
Wendell.
Yes, dear?
Aren't you ever coming to bed? It's 2:00.
Oh, is it already? I'll be turning in a few minutes, Ben.
That's what you said an hour ago.
Well, I can't stop just now, dear. There's so much to be done and so little time to do it in.
Why, darling? Why are you driving yourself this way, night after night, week after week? You haven't any deadline to meet.
Haven't I? Do you realize I'll be 40 years old on Friday?
I've realized it for some time now. That's why I think you ought to slow down a bit before you ruin your health.
Nonsense. I'm as sound as a board. Besides, the only success a man can have is to bring to his work a mighty heart.
A mighty heart, Wendell, yes. But not an impatient one. Why are you in such a hurry?
Well, I've always had a feeling that a man has to make his mark in life before he's 40. If he waits till after, he's apt to be left at the post.
Is this new book of yours to be your mark in life?
I hope so, Fan. If it isn't, I've wasted an awful lot of time. Almost 15 years.
Don't worry, Wendell. Your book will be a success, and so will you.
As a lawyer or as an idealist?
As both, darling. And as a husband, too.
Recognition of Wendell Holmes' brilliant observations on the common law didn't come all at once. But
when on December 8th, 1882, the governor appointed him to the Supreme Court of Massachusetts. And there he served for almost 20 years, putting into practice his modern liberal concept of the law.
Wendell? That you, Wendell?
Yes, I'm home, Fanny.
What's wrong, dear?
Wrong? Good heavens, woman, how can you tell there's something wrong as soon as I walk in the door?
Now, don't try to conceal it, Wendell. You know you're the worst liar in the world. Even a bird can tell something's happened to you. What is it, dear?
Well, it isn't anything wrong. It's just that I'm not sure we ought to go.
Go? Where?
To Washington. The president has just appointed me to the Supreme Court.
Why, Wendell. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Is it? I haven't accepted yet.
Well, you will accept. You'll go right out and telegraph your acceptance this minute.
I'll do no such thing, my dear. There's a great deal to consider before making a decision of this kind.
Darling, don't make a case out of it. You're not sitting on the bench now. This is the opportunity you've been waiting for.
I know, Fan, but it's come rather late. I'm almost 60 years old. I've got a rather comfortable position here.
Comfortable? Since when have you wanted to be comfortable?
Well, it isn't exactly the comfort I'm after, but you must realize it's taken me a lifetime to get where I am.
And where are you?
Oh, now, Fanny, you're not being quite fair. You once made a great to-do about my appointment here as Chief Justice of the Court.
You've gone as far as you can go in Massachusetts. Are you going to stop your career because the calendar says you're 60?
Not quite 60, dear.
Oh, what difference does it make? You live forever, Wendell.
Well, it means breaking up our home, uprooting our whole life.
Well, what if it does? We've uprooted our lives before and for something much less important. That's right, Coco. Tell him you're on my side.
Man, will you please stop toying with that bird and pay some attention to me? Washington isn't like Boston, you know. We may not like it there.
Why not?
Because we'll be surrounded by all sorts of important people. We'll be called upon to have dinner with the president in evening clothes. We'll be rubbing elbows with ambassadors and ministers of state.
Well, I believe the judge is frightened, Coco.
Confound it, I'm not frightened. It'd take more than an ambassador or two to frighten me off. If they want an old soldier like me in Washington with my views and concept of the law, I'm ready right now. Bugler, blow the charge.
Northern Securities Company versus the United States. Majority opinion found the Securities Company in restraint of trade. Justice Holmes dissenting.
Mere bigness does not make a merger illegal. Size is often inevitable, as in the case of railroads. And a law that does not allow the strongest man to win the race is not a fair one.
Lochner versus New York. Majority finds in favor of New York employer. Justice Holmes dissenting.
The state should have the right to regulate the hours of labor. Since the Constitution does not forbid it, each state should have the right to make experiments. Such is the nature of freedom.
Justice Holmes dissenting.
Justice Holmes dissenting.
Justice Holmes dissenting.
Gentlemen, if there is any principle of the Constitution that more imperatively calls for attachment than any other, it is the principle of free thought. Not free thought for those who agree with us, but freedom for the thought that we hate. Asleep, Parker?
No, sir. The doctor just left, and I believe she's waiting to see you.
Oh, good.
The doctor doesn't want you to stay with her very long, sir. He left word that she tires very easily.
Thank you, Parker. Hello, Fanny.
Hello, my dear. How was it at the court today, Wendell?
Fine. How was it here?
Oh, just about the same. Nobody feeds my birds anymore now that I'm not up and around to look after them.
Nonsense. Parker takes care of the birds. Very good care.
Who takes care of you now, Wendell?
Oh, I'm old enough to take care of myself, don't you think? After all, I'm 87.
1988, dear.
Good Lord, what a memory you've got.
Memories, Wendell. Glorious, glorious memories. We had such a wonderful life together.
We had, Fanny?
Well, there can't be very much of it left now. We've had more than our share already. After all, we...
Don't talk, my dear.
No. I want to talk, Wendell. I want to tell you how sweet you are. How great you are. How wonderful. It's been having a life with you.
You made that life, Fan. Without you, I never could have existed.
You mean that, don't you, dear? You...
Please don't talk anymore. Let me read to you the way you used to read to me.
Oh, I'm very tired, Wendell. Very tired. Just let me take a nap for a while. You can come back later.
All right, dear.
Good night, Wendell.
Good night, Dan. Sweet dreams.
How is she, sir? Any better?
No. No, I'm afraid not, Barker. She's going to sleep now. I don't think she'll wake up again. Ever. Flowers, please, Barker.
Oh, perhaps I'd better go with you this time, sir. It's raining.
Oh, that's all right. I've been to a grave in the rain before.
I know, sir. But you've had such a tiring day in court and...
Flowers, please, Barker.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, may I ask you a question, sir?
Yes.
Perhaps it isn't my place to talk about, but...
Come, what is it, Barker?
Well, I've been wondering how much longer you intend to go to court, sir.
I intend to go to court as long as I'm able. The mere fact that I'm 90 shouldn't alarm you. I'll probably live to a ripe old age.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much of your age, sir. I just couldn't help but wonder why you wanted to go on and on with your work. Don't you think you're entitled to a rest, sir?
After all these years in the courtroom, I can't rest, Barker. The riders in a horse race don't stop short when they reach their goal. There's always a little finishing canter before they come to a standstill.
Yes, but sir...
To live is to function, Barker. And when I stop functioning, I'll take my place out there with Mrs. Holmes. Now, do give me that umbrella and stop wasting my time.
A year later, when his voice faltered while delivering a majority opinion, Justice Holmes resigned from the Supreme Court. At that time, it seemed as if it might be an admission that he had ceased to function. And yet... The grand old man was reading a volume of Plato when the President of the United States paid him the great honor of coming around to his home for a personal visit just a few days after the inaugural ceremonies in 1933. President Roosevelt couldn't help but notice the open volume in Justice Holmes' lap.
Why do you read Plato, Mr. Justice?
I'm trying to improve my mind, Mr. President.
I doubt if your mind needs much improvement. Or your spirit either. From what I'm told, you're still one of the most active men in Washington.
Well, I do take my walks in the park occasionally. But when I see all those pretty young girls about, it makes me realize how old I am. Ah, Mr. President, to be 70 again.
I'm sure there are very few people in the world who think as clearly as you do at any age. I just wish I could call on you for advice sometime.
Anytime you say, I'm always willing to serve.
Well, you know what it's been like these past few days. The bank holiday, the embargo on gold. I dare say we're in the worst financial panic in the nation's history.
Bad as all that.
What do you think?
I'm a soldier, Mr. President. You want a soldier's opinion?
Yes. You've lived through half our country's history. You've seen its great men. This is a dark hour, Justice Holmes. What's your advice to me?
Well, I'd say you were in a war, Mr. President. I was in a war, too, once. And in a war, there's only one rule. Bomb your battalions and fight.
Great performance.
Playing Justice Holmes has fulfilled one of my real ambitions, Dick. You know, I'd like to have added my Hallmark greeting card to that famous 90th birthday of his, if only for one reason.
What was that?
His definition of happiness. Happiness, he said, is 4 feet on a fireplace fender.
It was for him. But the most moving moment of his whole story, I think, came at the very end. Justice Holmes died on March 6, 1935. He was laid to rest in Arlington Cemetery. As his body was lowered into the grave, the minister quoted Holmes' own words.
At the grave of a hero, we end. Not with sorrow at the inevitable loss, but with the contagion of his courage. And with a kind of desperate joy, we go back to fight.
Thank you again, Roger Pryor.
Folks, it's almost Easter Sunday. Only a little more than a week remains to let your friends and loved ones know you're thinking of them at Easter time. So tomorrow, select your Hallmark Easter cards. There are many beautiful ones from which to choose. Cards that say what you want to say the way you want to say it. Remember, at Easter as always, look on the back of the cards you select for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards. At that time, you will hear the true and inspiring story of the man who conquered Devil's Island. Our star will be one of Hollywood's most popular young actors, Van Heflin.
And may shortly be seen in the stage production, Message for Margaret. Yankee from Olympus was dramatized by Robert Sloan from the book by Catherine Drinker Bowen, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look at the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards at America's finest shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.